Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. And as you probably already know, we've been going through a series about the death of Jesus Christ, but we've kind of been taking it from a little different angle, because what Pastor Reynolds has been doing is he's really been focusing on the people involved in the story of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. And so each message has been from a different angle, dealing with a different person that was there during that crucifixion of Christ. And so in this morning's message, Brother Wayne is going to be talking specifically about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and what happened to her during this crucifixion story.
This morning, we'd like to bring a message concerning the adoption of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. That is right. Mary, according to the scriptures, was adopted at the command of Jesus Christ while he was on the cross, and John was the one that Jesus Christ gave his mother to. Read this with me. In the book of John 19, verse 25 through verse 27, the Bible said here in this place, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother, and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home." At the cross of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was being crucified, all had forsaken Jesus Christ. The soldiers came and arrested him. But the Holy Spirit had dealt with at least these four people that stood by the cross of Christ. All of the disciples and the apostles had forsaken Jesus Christ, but not these faithful women. John 16, verse 32 through verse 33, Jesus tells the disciples they would all be scattered from him. The Bible says here in this place, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and ye shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because my Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In John 18 and verse number 8 and verse number 9, when Jesus was taken captive in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ asked that his disciples would go free, that the scripture would be fulfilled. All the disciples left, but John returned and entered into the building where the trial was being held. But he did not enter in defense of Christ. It was during this time that Peter stayed outside in the courtyard, warming himself at the fire of the enemy, and denied Jesus Christ three times. But the scene before us is the adoption of Mary by John, the beloved disciple. You see, there are at least these four people that stands by the cross of Jesus Christ. First, there is Mary, the mother of Christ. And secondly, there is another woman named Mary. She is the wife of Cleopas. This Mary is the sister of Mary, the mother of Christ, and probably the mother of Matthew. And then number three, there is also another Mary that stands there. Her name is Mary Magdalene. This is according to Mark 16 and verse number 9. Jesus cast seven devils out of this woman, and she was very devoted to Jesus Christ, even to the end of his very life upon this earth. And then number four, there was John, the disciple whom Jesus Christ loved. All of these women had special, personal, individual reasons for being at the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was their own eternal Savior. He is a person. They had helped all the time of His ministry. Luke 8 and verse 1 through 3 gives us this statement. And it came to pass afterward that He went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with Him. But the Bible says in verse number 2, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Suzanne, and many others, which ministered to Him of their substance. These were the women who took care of Christ all the time of His personal ministry, using their own money to take care of His daily necessities. These were the women that washed His clothes, because His clothes needed washing, just as every other person's clothes needed washing. Sometimes, however, we don't think of Jesus Christ ever needing to change clothes or the other daily things that all humans do. Jesus was all God, that is true. But He was also all man. Therefore, all of these things had to be done. And these women did many of these things for Him. They didn't do these things because they had to, or in order to save their eternal souls. Jesus Christ had already saved them, and they knew their salvation was secure in Christ. Therefore, they did those things for Him because they loved Him, because He had first loved them. They didn't do these things to cause Christ to save them. Rather, they did all of these things because of gratitude to Him, because He had given them eternal life. And in this time of great agony for Christ, these faithful women never left Him. They were there during His ministry, and they were also there when they cruelly crucified Jesus Christ. I believe Mary, the mother of Christ, is present because of her great love for her Son. She not only loved Him because He was her Son, but she also loved Him because He was her eternal Savior. I believe Mary Magdalene was present because of her great love for Christ. Now, Mary Magdalene was not the wife of Christ. She was not His girlfriend either. She simply had been saved by Jesus Christ, and she completely dedicated herself to Him. You know, every person that Christ has saved ought to fully dedicate themselves to Him. Concerning John and his being at the cross, I wonder if, when John saw the way the mock trial was going, that if he went to tell the disciples what was going on, and then he returned to the cross with all of those that wanted to accompany him. There is something else to be considered about John, why he was at the cross of Christ. Because he loved Jesus Christ. John 19, verse 26 declares this: when Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto the woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. John here is not mentioned by name, but he constantly calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. These four people braved the opposition because they loved Christ more than anything else. These four, they loved Christ so much They were willing to give everything they had for him, even if it meant they would also lose their lives. But that didn't happen. Christ blessed them all that day. Also, through their being blessed, we are also blessed. Before we study in detail the verses before us, let us first notice some very important points about Mary. First of all, notice this. Mary was not a perpetual virgin. I won't say that point just again, just in case you didn't hear it the first time. Mary was not a perpetual virgin. Matthew 1, 24 through 25 states that Joseph knew Mary as his wife only after Jesus Christ was born. Read this passage, Matthew 1, verse 24 and 25. The Bible states here, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife," verse 25, "and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Notice here in this place that Joseph named Jesus. Mary did not name him. This reveals that Joseph understood that Jesus Christ would be born of a virgin, and he understood the great blessing that God had bestowed upon him. Notice, please, that Joseph and Mary both knew beforehand that Jesus was a Savior of the entire world. They are trusting him as being from God before he was even born into the world. They are trusting him because of the promise of God. Nothing else. Joseph and Mary were trusting God's word to them because God spoke to them and they both believed. The fact that Joseph knew Mary in the marriage relationship proves that she was not a perpetual virgin. It doesn't really make any difference who said that she was a perpetual virgin or that she remained a virgin all of her life. She was not. Matthew 12, verse 47, reveals that Jesus had brothers. I understand that they were really half-brothers. The Bible states in Matthew 12, verse 47, "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee." Verse 48, "But he answering said unto them that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren." Mark 6, verse 1 through 3 notes that the name of Jesus' brothers and sisters and uses the term sisters. That's a plural word, implying that Jesus had more than one sister. Listen to the Mark 6, verse 1 through 3. "And went out from hence, and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him." Verse number 2. "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works were wrought by his hand?" Verse number 3. "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. Notice that these names were mentioned of the men that were Jesus Christ's brothers, and even his sisters. Their names are not given at this point. You see, so we find this, that Mary had at least seven children. She had at least 7 children. She had 5 sons and 2 daughters. According to prophecy given by Simeon at the birth of Christ, it was necessary for the mother of Jesus to be present at his crucifixion. Luke 2, verse 34 through verse 35 states, "And Simon blessed them, and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." Verse 35. Luke 2, 35. "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Simeon told Mary that her son Jesus would bless many people, but he also told her that she would receive hurt because of him. Simeon was speaking about the mother part of Mary. No mother would want to see her son put to death or harmed in any way, but it pleased God for Mary to see Jesus hurt. It hurt her so much that Simeon described it as someone drawing a sharp sword through her soul. He said this, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also." You see, Mary knew that these things must come to pass. In her youth, Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, was just like any other lost person. She needed a Savior. Many people think that Mary was put in a position above other women, but she was not. Listen to the book of Luke 1 and verse 28, when the Bible states this, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." The angel Gabriel, you see, told Mary that she was blessed among women, not above women. Mary was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, just like every other lost person is saved. There are those today who mistakenly believe that Mary was not like other people, that she didn't need a Savior, that she didn't have any sin, even original sin. This doctrine is not new, because there were people in the days of Christ who believed exactly the same doctrine. That doctrine is wrong, and Jesus declares that that is an error. Luke 11, 27 through 28 states, "It came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said," verse 28, "but he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." This passage speaks about a certain woman who believed that Mary was blessed or different from every other woman because she had borne the Christ child. But what did Christ say in verse 28? He said, "Yea, rather blessed are all they that hear the word of God and keep it." Could Jesus make it any more clear that the person that hears and keeps the word of God is more blessed than Mary? You see, it is not the giving birth that makes a person blessed in the eyes of God. Now listen, it is the hearing, it is the keeping of the word of God that makes them blessed in the eyes of God. And that is possible for you and for me. Wow! It is possible for me to be blessed if I hear the word of God and if I keep the word of God. Now, I would ask you the very simple question. Who did Christ say were his mother and his brethren? Notice what Jesus said in verse number 50. "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my mother and my sister and my brethren." What a special truth this is. I did not live in the time when Jesus Christ walked upon this earth. It didn't happen that I was born in the same physical family that Jesus Christ was born into. But that doesn't mean I'm ineligible to be in the family of Christ. Jesus Christ himself declared in verse number 50, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Wow, isn't that a real blessing? This is a blessing indeed. Please understand that Christ isn't putting his mother and his brethren down. He's not doing that. But he is exalting true followers of God. This is what Christ wants us to do. Notice also that Jesus called Mary woman. Never in the four Gospels did Jesus call Mary mother. Does this fact mean that Jesus didn't like his mother? Or that he didn't respect her in the position she was in? Why, no, it didn't mean that at all. It meant that Jesus Christ knew there would come a religion upon this earth that would exalt Mary above the place God had put her in, and would lower Jesus from the place God put him in. So Jesus never did call his mother, mother, but he always called her woman. Now, let's look at the verses before us. Notice, first of all, that Mary is standing by the cross. She is not swooning. She is not fainting. She is not throwing some type of hysterical fit. I've seen pictures of Mary in a swoon as she hovers, almost fainting by the cross, being supported by those that stand by. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says here in this place that Mary stands by the cross of Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the Bible do we find anything quite equal to this very vital point. The grace of God sustained her in a time of great grief, just as the grace of God sustains each of us in the time of our grief, in the time of our sorrow, in a time when we do not know what we should do. As the sword described in Luke 2:35 is piercing her soul, she stands. She stands nobly by the grace and the help of Almighty God. John 26 states this: when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Many people believe that Jesus was begging pity from his mother when he said, Woman, behold thy son. But Jesus was not doing that. In fact, Jesus Christ was here directing Mary's attention away from himself. Verse 27 continues with this thought. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Jesus Christ was telling Mary that the beloved disciple, John, was now her son. Many people may rebel at this very thought. But if it is not true, why did Jesus say to John, Behold thy mother? Jesus was putting Mary under the supervision of John and instructing him to receive Mary as his own mother. We can also note the perfection of Christ as he was making sure his mother would be taken care of. Jesus never did make a mistake and always fulfilled all parts of the law that were not against his father's laws. In Ephesians 6 and verse 1 and verse number 2, we find that children are instructed to obey their parents in the Lord and to honor them. Jesus Christ always honored his parents, Mary his mother and Joseph his stepfather. He always honored them. You see, honoring parents doesn't stop when a person is married and moved from their father's house. But it continues until his parents die. And even if our parents die, we ought to remember and respect them until we die. They are the ones who gave us physical life. And we ought to always remember and respect them because they have given us physical life, but to always respect Christ because He has given us eternal life, but to always love and respect our parents because they have given us physical life. Remember, no matter how hard we may work or how engrossed we may become in life, whether it be religion or not, we should never become so engrossed in life that we fail to take care of our own family. This is exactly what Jesus Christ did when He was dying on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the entire world. When He died there for us, He always took care of the minutest detail. And one detail he needed to take care of was His mother. That's why that He gave her unto John. And the Bible says that John took her into that house from that very time. In 1 Timothy 5, in verse 8, we find that one who fails to take proper care of his family has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Even though Jesus Christ was upon the cross of Calvary, even though His body was racked with pain, His person in the deepest shame, His life was taken for the salvation of sinners, even though Jesus was taking care of the most important matter in all of the universe, still He, in His perfection, took the time and thought and wonderful grace to take care of His widowed mother. This is a great lesson for us. Regardless of how busy we get, or where we are, or what our life's work is, we should always honor our parents. This be one thing we will be judged for. What will your answer be? Were you too busy to take care of your own parents? You just didn't think about it? But Jesus did a lot more than you or I have ever or ever will do. And He remembered to honor His mother in His dying hours. I don't know for sure. It's very likely Joseph had already died, which is why Jesus adopted His mother to John. Remember the commandment with the promise. Ephesians 1, verse 6 through 3 states, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth." Jesus Christ indeed honored His mother when He adopted His mother to John. May we always honor our parents in the same way.
Well, thank you, Brother Wayne, for this message about Jesus and how He honored His mother even while He was hanging on the cross, dying for our sins. You think about the Creator of the world coming down, living a life, having to put up with the things here in this world, and then dying on the cross for my sins. And in the midst of all that, he puts forth the effort to honor and care for His own mother. And it's just, again, it just kind of shows us how He came and lived a perfect life. And we sometimes forget what it really means or what it really takes to live that perfect life. But Jesus Christ, He did it. He fulfilled everything. He fulfilled the entire law. He lived it perfectly. And He alone could be the sacrifice for our sins. He alone was completely and totally pure. Well, if this message or these series of messages have been a blessing to you and you'd like to share them with others, you can direct them to our website. On the website, you'll be able to find an audio section, and that audio section contains all of the prior radio broadcasts. Now, that website address is www.independencebaptist.org, and from there, you'll be able to read a lot of different books, articles, and tracks as well. We also want to invite you to join us for services this morning. We'll be starting Sunday school at 10 a.m., worship services at 11, afternoon prayer meeting at 3:45, and afternoon worship services at 4:30. Our building is located at 124 South Main Street in Forestell, Missouri, which is just a very, very short distance off of Interstate 70. And finally today, we want to thank you for listening and look forward to next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.